This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is the fifth in our summer series entitled 1 John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6.
Last week, as I ended my sermon, I told you this week that we'd be talking about the Antichrist. And then I started working on the sermon, and the Lord said, no, you're not going there this week, you're going there next week. I have to listen to what the Lord tells me to do. And this is the same text I would use next week that I'm using this week, because it tells us to try the Spirit so that we'll know the difference between truth and error. And I want to start there because that's where the Holy Spirit's leading us. We live in a world where there are so many voices and so many different opinions that we become totally confused. We don't know which way is up. We don't know which way is down. We don't know what's right. We don't know what's wrong. We got to the place where we don't know who's who and what's what. And so I thought this morning I'd start out with that thought in mind by giving you a video interview. I didn't write this. If I had, I'd be a millionaire. But I thought it would be a little comic relief to begin with about who's who and what's what. And so please listen and please be blessed.
A baseball team here at the retired actor's home, and I am the manager. Now,
you're going to be the manager of the retired actor's baseball team?
Yes.
I would like to join the retired actor's baseball team.
Oh, you would?
I would like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so if I want to play with them, I know them, and I meet them on the street or in the home here, I can say hello to them.
Oh, sure. But you know, they give baseball players nowadays very peculiar names.
Oh, a lot of funny names.
You know, like Stinky Fields.
Stinky Fields.
Goofy Dan. Booby Bobber. Booby Bobber. Well, let's see now. We have on our team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out, the guy's name. That's what I want to find out, the guy's name.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Abby, you want to be the manager of the baseball team?
Yes.
You know the guy's name?
Well, I should.
Well, you tell me the guy's name on the baseball team.
I say, who's on first, what's on second?
I take that as a sign. How about you?
There were some odd things going around that I didn't particularly care about.
Now you got to get rid of that. Well, you know who's on first and who's on second, right? Well, again, if we think in terms of the way in which the world is set up today, it's very difficult to know who's on first. It's very difficult to know what's on second. It's very difficult to know what the truth is. And so I want to share with you, which comes from our fourth session, or fifth session, I forget now, of our summer series on the book of 1 John. And I'd like to begin kind of thinking about what marks the 21st century. The 21st century is marked by advances in technology. It's marked by the speed of communication. It's marked by ideas, philosophies, and opinions that bombard us every single day. You get a news and you're supposed to sort that out. But the reality is that we are not given enough information to be able to sort out truth from error, even about news items. It's gotten to the point where some of the things we hear are true, and some of the things we hear are partially true, and some of the things that we hear are absolutely not true at all. We're hard-pressed to know what the truth is when we see a product advertised on television and the actors who are portrayed there, the people who are paid to speak, and they say what a wonderful product this is, and it's going to do this, and it's going to do that, and it's going to do the other things, and you can believe what they're going to say, and just as they're about to end that commercial, a whole bunch of tiny little words appear on the bottom of the screen. You can't read them, but you know what those tiny little words on that paragraph at the bottom of the screen are saying? Basically, they're saying whatever that guy told you is a lie. How are you supposed to know unless you can read the small print? And there is not a lot of small print that we can read. We hate the fact that we don't trust our political leaders, but we no longer expect truth from them. In the last presidential election, just having 11% of America believe that you are, quote, honest and trustworthy was good enough to give a 9% lead to the incumbent. Today, if you believe in absolute truth, you are portrayed as narrow-minded and extremist. As Bible-believing Christians, we should be unashamed of the fact that we believe this book is true. We should be unashamed to believe that there are absolutes and they're contained inside the pages of this book. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. John 8:32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." In the final analysis, truth is power, and truth is liberating, and God's word is truth you can trust. In our sermon series of 1 John, two words seem to dominate the landscape of John's writings. Those two words are truth and love. And those two words go together in the scripture, and those two words are supposed to go together in our preaching, in our teaching, in your testimony, and in our living. We're supposed to be people who love the truth and want to live the truth, because in so doing, we demonstrate God's love to the people who are around us. And that love that we demonstrate that comes from the Holy Spirit is so powerful, it represents Jesus Christ. God is love. And when people see Christ in us, the Bible says that it will draw people to Him. Jesus draws people to Him. What pushes people away, unfortunately, too many times these days are quote-unquote people in the church. Not Christ, not His love, but how we live it. Many voices proclaim they are Christians in 2017, and many voices proclaim they were Christians in the first century church. But John writes, they said they were Christian, they said they were teaching the truth, but they were not. They were not Christian, and they were not truthful. It comes down to how you define the word Christian. So let's stand together for our text this morning, 1 John chapter 4, 1 to 6, and we will see that John gives us a warning and a text to discern truth from error. In verse 1 of our text, John writes, "Don't believe everything you hear." And you're hearing a lot today. In John's day, he was dealing with false teachers and false teaching, and he was not about standing there and letting those false teachers say whatever it is they felt like saying and teach whatever it is they felt like teaching, because it defied God's word. It defied the revelations that had been given. Now, John was privy. He was one of the only apostles who was privy to the writings of all the rest of the apostles. He knew the difference between truth and error at that point. And so did the people he was teaching. And he said, "What you're hearing is not the truth." Boy, imagine standing up in a public forum and saying what you're saying is not the truth. Paul was of the same inclination. And he wrote some very, very stern warnings to believers 2,000 years ago. And those warnings we must heed today. Listen to what he says in Colossians 2:8. "Beware lest any man spoil you." That means steal something from you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments. Those are the principles of the world, and not after Christ. He said, beware. People are going to try to steal your fundamental beliefs in Jesus Christ. They're going to do it in a lot of different ways. Some of those ways are very nuanced. They're going to start picking away at you very, very slowly and incrementally to start accepting things that are not biblical. Not a question of tradition, not a question of philosophy, a question of the difference between truth and error. And he's warning, if you're not careful, you will be wooed and seduced away from the truth. And it won't be very hard to do if you don't know what you believe. Here are some stronger words in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Galatians 1, 6 to 10, it's up here. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." That's harsh talk. Angels were telling people what to believe. There are a number of religious sects and cults, and the founders will tell you that what it is they got from an angel. Paul said, I don't care where you get it from. If it varies from the truth of the gospel, it's not true. It's a lie. As we said before, verse 9, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Jesus Christ. If we stand behind the sacred desk, and I thank my brothers who have stood behind this desk, your deacons and Brother James in the last couple of weeks, preaching the truth. Truth doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. Maybe the setting in which we put it will change, but not the truth. It's the diamond in the ring. And the only thing that changes is the setting. The diamond doesn't. So how are we supposed to know what is spiritually true or false? Well, some of it's very easy. Let me give you an example. In 2008, the British Humanist Association, an atheist group over in England, with the backing of one of the smartest men in the world, Richard Dawkins, started something called the Bus Campaign, which posted atheist catchphrases on the sides of buses in London. You know, those big red buses? They had some signs. One of the buses proclaimed the following message in large, colorful letters. There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. How's that for a bumper sticker? There's probably no God. So now you're on a plane. You're at Newark Airport. The plane is about ready to taxi down and take off. It's going out to Los Angeles, to LAX Airport in Los Angeles. And the pilot comes on and he says something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, please find your seats, be comfortable, strap in. We're heading now from Newark Airport out to LAX. And I'm reasonably certain that this plane will probably get there. How do you feel? Or how about this one? I think the gun isn't loaded. Pull the trigger and find out. I don't think that's too comforting. I don't know about you, but I don't think the atheists made a really good statement about what they believe. John tells us in verse 1, he says, try the spirits whether they are of God. Test them. Try them. As Bible-believing Christians, we are to put what we are told about God to the test. Compare what people claim as their faith against what the Bible teaches. The basis of our faith is the authority of this book. It is our guide used by the Holy Spirit to determine what's true and what's error. There's no other way to do this. This is how Paul did it when he was in Greece and he challenged the people on Mars Hill. He challenged them with their own beliefs compared to what God teaches. So this morning I'd like to make such a comparison. So let's wipe the slate clean and begin. Here's a question for you. How many of you believe that Mormonism is Christian? Just a Christian sect like Baptist or Methodist. How many of you believe that Mormons are just another Christian sect? Let me see your hand. Okay, some do. Here's what the Mormons say. Bruce R. McConaughey, the Mormon apostle, writes in Mormon Doctrine, Mormonism is Christianity. Christianity is Mormonism. Mormons are true Christians. But we're going to see something as we compare Mormon beliefs and Mormon practices to our biblical faith in almost every area. It's not Christian. Now, I want to start out by saying this. Mormons are some of the finest people in the world. Mormons are people who have very high moral standards, and they live by them. Mormons are very family-oriented. They're very community-oriented. Who doesn't love the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? So we're not saying these are bad people by any stretch of the imagination. We're talking about the difference between truth and error, and we're just comparing facts this morning. I'm not out to tear down anybody, what anybody believes. I'm just here to present what the Bible says and compare it to what folks believe. But one of the things that the Mormons say about themselves is this, quote, that they are the one true church. So let's give you some statistics about them this morning. There are 11 million Mormons worldwide. 300,000 converts a year turn to Mormonism. Assets for the Mormons are someplace between $25 and $30 billion. Because Mormons require tithes are given, it generates about $3 million a day. They're required to give tithes, and that generates about $3 million a day to the church. 50,000 Mormon missionaries serve in 200 countries around the world. They're devoted. You might see them riding bikes around. They might come and knock on your door. They're dressed beautifully, suits and ties and whatnot. The major thrust of Mormons' missions is within Christian denominations. They're going after the Christians. Why? Because they know something. They know that we don't know what we believe and why we believe it. So we're vulnerable. And a lot of the things they're going to say sound very much like what we believe on the surface. The Mormons were founded in 1830 by Joseph Smith. Brigham Young, whose name you've probably heard, replaced Smith as prophet in 1844. According to traditional Mormon teaching, the angel Moroni, who was the son of the prophet Mormon, revealed to Joseph Smith that the Book of Mormon was written on two golden plates. Smith translated those plates into English and called it the Book of Mormon. He also called it the most perfect book on earth. There are three other sacred books to Mormons. One's called the Doctrines and Covenants. The other is called the Pearl of Great Price. And the other is called the Inspired Version of the Bible. Now, you know that Mormons give away Bibles. They give away King James Bibles. But those are not the King James Bible you're holding in your hand. Those are the King James Bible with literally thousands of changes made, including one in Genesis chapter 50, which predicts the coming one day of Joseph Smith to be the prophet. That's not in your Bible. So let's do some comparisons here this morning. First list, let's take a look at what Mormons teach about God. Now look here. Mormons teach this. About Jesus. Come on, let's keep going. Here's what they teach about God. That God the Father is an exalted man that came from another planet. Here's what the Bible teaches in Hosea 11:9. God says, I'm not God. I'm not a man. I'm God. I am God, not a man. The Mormons teach he came from a species of God who existed before him in infinite series of gods who were also men. Isaiah 45:5 says this, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. So they teach that there were many gods. They teach that God was a man. They teach he came from another planet. But the Bible says, I'm none of those things. Let's go on to the next one. The Mormons teach that God has a physical body. And John 4:24 says that God is a spirit. Let's go on to the next slide. Mormons say that God is not eternal. The Bible says, Isaiah 40:28, that he is the eternal, everlasting God, the Lord of Creator. Now, those different points are totally different one from the other. And if they're not the same, and if they are different, then one is true and one is not. They can't both be true because they're saying the opposites of one another. So when two things say the opposite of one another, you have to decide what's true and what's not. The scripture says that God is not a man. The scripture says that God has no physical nature. The scripture says that God is eternal. He had no beginning. He had no end. The Mormons say totally different things. Who do you believe? Let's look at what it says about Jesus. He was a created being, the brother of Lucifer. So Jesus' brother is Satan. Let's see what the scripture says in John 10:30. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. There's no difference between God the Father and Jesus. There is a huge difference between Satan and God. The Mormons say he was born as a result of Mary having physical relations with God. Now that's the thing that carries over from the Greeks. The Greeks believe that their gods had physical relations with women. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Here's what the Bible teaches about how Jesus was born. In Matthew 1:18-20, it says that Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So what happened was that God touched the body of Mary and allowed the Holy Spirit to bring miraculous life to the body of a virgin woman. And Jesus was born. It was not a physical, intimate relationship with a physical God. How far off is that teaching? What else do we have? Jesus had to earn his own salvation, just like the rest of the created beings, you and me. What does the Bible say? John 5:20, Jesus Christ, the true and eternal God. He's God, he can't sin. So he, given the fact that Jesus is God and he can't sin, that's wrong what the Mormons are teaching. That he needed salvation because he's just like the rest of us. For the Mormon teaching, Jesus is like the rest of us. For biblical teaching, Jesus is not like the rest of us. If he was like the rest of us, he couldn't offer himself as a sacrificial lamb who was sinless. He's the only one that had no sin. He's God and man. Believing anything other than that about Jesus Christ is to receive error and not truth. And the question is, what will you believe? We have any more there? Well, how about this? Jesus was a polygamist. Anybody remember what that word means? It means he had more than one wife. Well, there's absolutely no evidence in Scripture that he was ever married. And every attempt historically to have Jesus married has failed. And not only was he married to many women, but he also had many children, according to the Mormons. So that's not true. And the Mormons teach that salvation is complete, made complete by your good works. Is that what you believe? Or do you believe Ephesians 2:8-9? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, there's no way that you can find salvation through your own good works, because your good works and my good works are not good enough. There's no way that we could ever measure up to sinless perfection or moral perfection, because we're human, and because God knew that we're human, incapable of living up to those high standards. The Bible says that God used that law as a schoolmaster to point us to Jesus, to tell us it's impossible for us to be so good that we could earn our salvation, impossible for us ever to be perfect. One day we will be perfect. When we go home to be with the Lord, we will stand in perfection before him. But now you and I will sin. You and I will make wrong choices. And when you and I make wrong choices, it's important to understand through those times, through those failures, through those moments of falling, through the times in which we backslide, through the times in which we doubt, through the times in which we are not the men and women and young people we know God wants us to be, he hasn't stopped loving you. He hasn't given up on you. If you believe in a system where God sets up a system that means you have to be good and you have to be moral to even get to heaven, to even have salvation, to even enjoy any of the blessings of God, you're going to have a miserable life. The only life worth living is a life in which you know that a perfect Savior has come into the world to bring you life and to bring you life abundantly. A joy that passes all understanding, a peace that passes all understanding. You can only have that when you put yourself into the hands of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So John says there is truth and there is error out there. And he said, let me give you a starting point, the place where you would start to determine if what you're hearing is true or if it's error. There is one starting point which can separate out so many of the world's religions from biblical Christianity, and that's the question of the deity of Jesus Christ. That's a starting point. 1 John 1:2, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. If you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that means that you're a Christian. And 1 John 1:3, Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God. If you deny the deity of Christ, you cannot call yourself a Christian. You're something else. Whatever that else is, it's not biblical Christian. You can't label yourself that way. 1 John 1:6 says, "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That there is truth and that there is error, and there's a way to differentiate it, is by first beginning as to what do people think of Jesus. And from there, everything else draws down. So the question is, what must we do with what we believe? Remember that old song you sang when you were a kid, "Hide It Under a Bushel"? And what was the answer? No. You cannot hide your truth of Jesus Christ under a bushel. Here's what Jesus says in Mark 16:15. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Sharing your faith in Jesus Christ and the truth that he has given you through his word is not an option. Let me say that again. Sharing the gospel with the people in your life is not an option. You have no choice. If you don't share it, you're disobeying Christ. Period. There's such a sense of lethargy and apathy about us. We're just expecting every day to go on and life to go on and things to just carry on the way they are. We expect tomorrow to be like yesterday and tomorrow can take care of itself. But there are people in your sphere of influence who don't know the truth of Jesus Christ. You got it. They don't. Who's supposed to tell them? Are you waiting for me to tell them? Bring them here. I'll tell them. But short of that, you may be the only person in the room who can tell those people about Jesus. And Jesus has commanded you to do that. Truth and love. You got the truth, but do you have enough love to share it? Your job is not to save anybody, because you can't. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to save people. Your job is to go and tell. In the world, there is a spirit of error. In your world, there is truth. If you love people, tell them the truth and live the truth. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.